Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
It's our lesson on food.
Ooh.
And gee whiz, today is Christmas. Merry Christmas, everybody. Or Happy Constitution Day, whatever the day might be. But as a way to celebrate Christmas, we're going to enjoy some Christmas food. And a lot of people ask me this, you know, what kind of food do you eat at Christmas? And I kind of say, well, it's basically the same food as Thanksgiving.
Not for our family. I know some families go ahead and eat turkey and ham. We never did. My mom would always take a poll, and we could all vote for our favorite foods, and then that's what she'd usually make.
So you'd have pizza, huh?
No, it turned out we had... No, she did this dish called mock enchiladas using Frito-Lay chips, the corn chips,
okay,
and chili, and she'd mix them together. So good. Anyway, I miss Frito-Lay corn chips over here in Taiwan. We don't have them.
Frito's corn chips, yeah.
Yeah, those are really, really good. But no, then we started having clam chowder with these fresh baked rolls that she would make. So it really depended. We didn't do the whole, you know, oh, let's just eat what we eat at Thanksgiving. We didn't do that ever.
Well, we didn't quite do it exactly like Thanksgiving, but I must say it was
very
similar, probably turkey or some kind of meat.
I don't even like turkey.
Like pumpkin pie and apple pie and various kinds of salad.
Love apple.
Cranberry jello or something like
that.
We had that too.
Cranberry jello. Oh, okay.
There was some kind of jello and mashed potatoes, of course.
Love mashed potatoes.
And stuffing and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, it was very similar to Thanksgiving dinner. But one particular drink that we enjoyed at Christmas was eggnog, which is a very rich kind of drink. You don't want to drink too much of it. You can drink it spiked, or you can drink it straight. Spiked means you put something alcoholic inside it. When I first drank it, of course, we did not put any alcohol in it. Later on, of course, I would add some brandy to it. Some people add rum. I guess you can go either way. And, of course, eggnog is not unique to the United States. There are different versions in different parts of the Americas, which we'll get to. But, of course, eggnog probably came from England, but it's been kind of changed in different countries in North and Central and South America. And that's what we're going to be talking about today, eggnog. So let's get to it, everybody. Let's read the entire contents of our lesson right now. Eggnog is a popular Christmas drink in North America. In fact, many don't consider the holiday season complete without a glass of the strong, spiced beverage. However, what exactly is eggnog, and where did it come from? Eggnog is a mixture of whipped eggs, cream, milk, sugar, and spices, and is often given a kick with strong alcohol. The drink was first created in England, where it was called a posset, and included sherry as its alcoholic component. Since milk, eggs, and sherry were all expensive, possets were only drunk by the wealthy. When people in the Americas started making it, however, they used rum, which was significantly cheaper. After this change, eggnog became more widespread, and its name changed as well. The first part of its new name comes from its primary ingredient, while the second might come from the word noggin, an old British word for wooden cup. Another theory is that nog is derived from grog, a slang term for alcohol. In the Americas, numerous variations of eggnog have come into being. While rum is still the most popular alcoholic addition, bourbon has replaced it in the southern states of the U.S. In Puerto Rico, the drink is called coquito and is made with coconut juice or milk. Biblia con pisco, a Peruvian version, uses brandy, while Mexico's Rompope contains extra vanilla and cinnamon. If you're keen to try some non-alcoholic eggnog, it's easy to make. Whisk egg yolks and sugar, and then add milk, cream, and nutmeg. That's all there is to it. Though eggnog's generally served cold, you can also warm it up to keep away the winter chill. Why not whip some up for this year's Christmas celebrations?
Okay, guys, we're going to be talking about rich eggnog. I have to confess before we get started that I really don't like eggnog.
Okay.
I thought it was too sweet and too eggy and just just kind of gross as a kid. And as I got older, I didn't grow to like it any better.
You didn't develop a taste for
it,
huh?
No. You like it, right? No?
I do, but you can't have too much of it because it is so rich. I can only drink about one glass and maybe just one glass every day during the Christmas season.
That's a lot.
Which could be maybe up to 5 or 6 glasses. I don't know. But after that, no, I'll just only drink it during the Christmas season. And, you know, people are always asking this on Facebook or whatever. Does anybody know where I can get some eggnog in Taiwan? I think it is sold in some places, but I'm not sure. Maybe at Costco or Jason's or something like that. Many years ago, of course, I was curious, and I actually made some myself. The recipe is not that difficult.
Did it taste good?
It was fine, you know, and I suppose there are different variations.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you can choose your own spices or your own alcohol or whatever. If you decide to put alcohol in it, you don't have to, but we will talk about some of the ingredients of eggnog as our lesson continues today. So here, the title of our all English lecture for today is Celebrating Christmas with Rich Eggnog. And I just used the word rich there. It does not mean that it has lots of money. Rich usually means it's very, very sweet.
Or it has a lot of butter. It doesn't necessarily have to be sweet to be rich. If it has a lot of butter and cream, I would say if you describe something as being rich tasting, it has a lot of calories in it. So this is not a diet food. This is not a healthy food that you eat because, you know, you're trying to be really healthy. No. If it's rich, it has a lot of calories. And like Tom said, it can be sweet or... And or it could be both. It could be sweet and be filled with butter and cream, which I think makes everything taste really good. I love butter and cream.
Well, nowadays they're saying that foods with lots of fat are actually not bad for you. It's the sugar that's bad for you.
Natural fat, yeah.
So, yeah, maybe you could have this without so much sugar in it. So I think I'm going to try it without so much sugar in it.
Okay.
If I have some time after our program today to go
make
home
some.
And make some up, I don't know. But
in
any case, here in the first paragraph it says, eggnog is a popular Christmas drink in North America. In fact, many don't consider the holiday season complete without a glass of the strong spiced beverage. Yeah, lots of people feel that way. If you have Christmas, then you've got to have eggnog. Our family did not really feel that way. It was like, if you want it, you can have it. If you don't want it, fine. We've got plenty of other stuff. We've got Christmas cookies. We've got our Christmas meal and stuff like that. There are lots of other choices for Christmas food. But for some people, hey, you can't have Christmas without eggnog. They consider the holiday season complete with a glass of eggnog.
Yeah, it depends on families. I think if your family has that tradition, I think you'll probably grow up liking eggnog. My family just didn't have that tradition. My mom's mom didn't make it. My mom didn't make it. I'm never going to make it. So I think it just depends on the traditions in your own family. We're describing it as being a strong spiced beverage. Beverage is just a drink. Beverage can be countable. You could talk about beverages. You know, or if you wanted to ask someone, would you like a beverage? It's a little more formal, I think, than saying, do you want something to drink or would you like a drink? Beverage, yeah. It is very spicy and a lot of people end up adding alcohol to it, which is probably one thing that a lot of people like about it, is it's alcoholic. I don't drink alcohol, so that's not appealing to me, but I just didn't like the taste of the sugar and the vanilla, the cinnamon, whatever it was. I just didn't like it. So let's move on to the next paragraph here. What is it made of? Well, it's a mixture of whipped eggs, cream, milk, sugar, and spices, and is often given a kick with strong alcohol. That's true. Now, if it's a mixture, it means you're putting things together. You're adding things together. I like all of these things, actually. I love eggs, cream, milk, sugar. All those sound great. But typically, if you're talking about eggs, I want them cooked. These are raw. So that might be part of it, why it doesn't appeal to me. Mixture is a noun if you want the verb, it's mix. Oh, you could also use blend. It's a blend of, because when you blend things together, you mix them together. It's a blend of whipped eggs, cream, milk, sugar, and spices. And if you give something a kick, you add a little something to make it either a little spicier, a little stronger. Here, the kick would be alcohol, and alcohol does have kind of a burning sensation to it, I understand from people who drink. So that's what that kick is there.
I usually did not add alcohol to it until later on. I'm mostly used to drinking eggnog that is non-alcoholic, but of course, you always have the option of spiking it, as I said earlier, with rum or bourbon or whiskey. Whiskey is a kind of bourbon, or bourbon is a kind of whiskey.
Oh.
And maybe some brandy as well. Now, let's talk about the origin of nutmeg. The drink was first created in England, where it was called a posset and included sherry as its alcoholic component. So here, component can mean the same thing as ingredients, or the part of this drink that was alcoholic was sherry. Its component, or its alcoholic component, was sherry. Here, alcoholic means having to do with alcohol, usually in the form of alcohol that people drink, like beer, wine, vodka. Those are all alcoholic beverages. And sherry, I believe, is a kind of wine that comes from Spain. And I used to drink sherry a lot with my father, but, you know, we've gotten older and we don't really drink as much as we used to. So sherry, of course, was the original alcoholic part of eggnog, which used to be called posset in England.
Yeah, posset. So kind of interesting. I've never heard of that before, this posset. Alcoholic component. I would like to say that component typically is used for things, for objects, rather than living things or ingredients like food. But here we're trying to teach you the word component, which is often used to talk about one part of something. You often will see it when you're talking about computers, computer components or stereo components.
Right.
We often use it with stereo too, stereo components.
My stereo had components like, you know, the receiver and the turntable. And the cassette deck and the reel-to-reel deck and the speakers, those were all components. But this is the alcoholic part. At least back in the day, they had sherry in eggnog. And since milk, eggs, and sherry were all expensive, possets were only drunk by the wealthy. So peasants or farmers or factory workers just couldn't drink posset because all those ingredients were expensive.
That's right. I remember reading books saying that in the 1700s, only the very, very wealthy, and I'm talking about royalty, could afford to have sugar. So we're very lucky these days. We get lots of things that are a lot cheaper that make our food taste better. When people in the Americas started making it, however, they used to use something called rum. Rum is also alcohol, a type of alcohol. It's got kind of a sweet taste, according to one of my friends. I haven't had rum before, but rum is often used in desserts. Or I've seen rum ice cream, too, which sounds a little interesting. So if you see rum, it's probably being used in a dessert dish, a type of dish that is a dessert. Now, after this change, meaning they used to use rum because it was cheaper, eggnog became more widespread, and its name changed as well. So if something's widespread, you can find it in many places. It's not just in one location. It's become popular and something's widespread. So it became widespread after they were able to lower the price and make it a lot cheaper by using rum. The first part of its new name comes from its primary ingredient. Your primary ingredient is the ingredient that you have the most of in a dish, right? The thing that's most important. While the second might come from the word noggin, an old British word for wooden cup. But today, I know noggin is sometimes used for someone's head.
Yeah. Yeah, use your noggin, use your brain, etc.
Sure.
But I guess in Britain or in England many centuries ago, the word noggin actually stood for a wooden cup. I'd like to have some milk in a noggin, please.
Yeah.
Fetch me a noggin of sherry or something like that. I can imagine them saying there. So maybe that is the source of the nog in eggnog. But we've got another theory that people are discussing. Yes, where does this word eggnog come from, especially the word nog? Well, here's another theory. Another theory is that nog is derived from grog, a slang term for alcohol. I have heard that. I'm going to raise my cup of grog in a toast here.
Oh, I haven't heard that before.
But that, of course, is an old word. We don't really use that so much. But again, it's an old slang term for alcohol or an alcoholic drink. And that's another theory. A theory is just a possible solution or a possible answer to a certain question that someone has come up with. They've done some research. They've talked to some people. They've got some information. And so they've come up with this idea that they think is true. There are lots of theories in science, for example, but of course they're theories and they need to be proven.
Yeah, if you're writing a research paper, you might have a theory about something. But in order to really write a good paper, you then have to turn around and test your theory. So this was an idea or a theory. Oh, I think this is probably correct. Although it hasn't been tested yet, there's no proof. Was that this nog was from grog, which I just said, I've never heard of grog before. Mm. It's slang for alcohol.
Okay, everybody, it's time for us to take a break, but please stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. Let's continue with our lesson.
So in the Americas, numerous variations of eggnog have come into being. When you have variations of something, you have one thing that's slightly different. So it's the same thing, but there are small changes made to it. So they're not all exactly the same. They're similar, but they're variations. A lot of times there will be music, especially classical music, and it'll be a variation on something. So they'll take the original piece of music, change it a little bit, maybe write it a little differently for a different instrument, and becomes a variation on something.
Yeah, it seems like they always say themes and variations of something, of a Bach fugue or something like that. So in any case here, we've got different versions or different variations of eggnog. They have come into existence. They have come into being. Come into being just means they have been born. They've been starting to be used. And let's talk about some of the variations here in the Americas, which again refers to all the countries in North and South and Central America. So let's look at the next sentence here in this paragraph. While rum is still the most popular alcoholic addition, it is true that most eggnogs add rum to them. Bourbon has replaced it in the southern states of the U.S. So if you're down in Georgia or Alabama or Mississippi, and you're going to have some eggnog down there in Atlanta or something like that, they're going to add some bourbon to that.
Bourbon,
of course, gee, I'm talking in a southern accent here, but bourbon, of course, is a kind of whiskey that comes from Kentucky, okay? And it has to come from a certain part of Kentucky. Otherwise, you can't call it bourbon. Like a lot of people say Jack Daniels is bourbon, but no, it's not. Jack Daniels is actually from Tennessee, so you can't call it bourbon.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's just Tennessee whiskey or Tennessee sour mash.
They have another similar rule for alcohol that's referred to as champagne. It can only be called champagne if it's from a particular valley that's called Champagne.
Okay.
So that makes sense that they would make a similar rule for bourbon. So, yeah. If you were listening closely, you heard Tom go into a southern accent. Southern accent like that. They talk a little bit like that.
I actually like the southern accent. I think it's cute.
Well, in Puerto Rico, the drink is called coquito. Coquito, which is Espanol or Spanish. And it's made with coconut juice or milk. So That I think I would like to try.
Sounds tasty.
Coconut juice sounds really good. The milk, no. But the coconut juice for sure. So, coquito. Biblia con pisco is Peruvian. Peruvian is the adjective for the country of Peru. If someone's from Peru, we call them Peruvian. Or if some product is made there or was originally from Peru, it's also called Peruvian. So they have a Peruvian version of eggnog that has a little longer name, Biblia con Pisco, and they use brandy instead of rum in that. Rum, to me, seems more like eggnog. Brandy, not so much. But all these cultures, they have different likes and dislikes, and in Peru, they prefer brandy. While Mexico has their own version, rompope. Rompope?
I'd say rompope.
Rompope.
En español.
Oh, and it contains extra vanilla and cinnamon. I'm not surprised. Mexico produces some of the best vanilla on the planet Earth. In fact, we would I'm from Arizona, and we would often go across the border and buy Mexican vanilla and bring it back to the United States. It was so good.
Oh, we'd always go down across the border and get Mexican brandy.
Oh.
You could get San Marcos brandy or El Presidente or whatever. They were, you know, pretty cheap and pretty tasty, and they're good mixers for stuff. Of course, cognac is a more exquisite kind of brandy, whereas they probably just use common brandy there.
Cheap cooking brandy.
In eggnog versions down there. Mm. In those countries south of the border, if you're keen to try some non-alcoholic eggnog, it's easy to make. So to be keen to do something means that you want to do something. You'd like to do this. I'm keen to try some Hakka food when I go to Miaoli next weekend. I've never had Hakka cooking before, so I'm keen on trying. Well, I have, but it's just an example.
That's an example sentence.
I'm keen on trying some Indonesian food, for example, if I go there or something like that.
Mm.
So if you're keen on this, if you'd like to try some eggnog without alcohol, it's easy to make. Whisk egg yolks and sugar. Whisk just means to take the egg yolks and mix them together quickly as if they are going to form a foam or a froth.
Right.
And then you add other ingredients like milk, cream, and nutmeg, which is a kind of spice. You're going to have to look that up because I'm not allowed to speak Chinese today. And that's all there is to it. It's that simple. Just take those ingredients and mix them together. And though eggnog's generally served cold, you can also warm it up to keep away the winter chill. Yes, it does get kind of chilly here in Taiwan during the winter. So, yeah, you might want to warm it up or keep it a little warm. But I like it cold myself, even though it's winter. So here's our suggestion. Why not whip some up for this year's Christmas celebrations?
Yeah, I don't like it too cold or too warm. But my family, at least, if we did have eggnog and it was rare, we typically would drink it cold like you, Tom. Mm. But I've been to a lot of parties where they like to have it cold. They don't like it warm. Or vice versa. It just depends on what your preference is.
So, of course, we've told you all about the recipe that is common in the United States, but I'm kind of happy that we mentioned some other variations of eggnog in the Americas. And I understand that that original word for eggnog posset actually still exists as a dessert as well. I did see some recipes for that, and I guess it's different from eggnog.
Yeah, it was. In fact, if you go to Wikipedia, you can see that it was originally made with curdled milk.
Ooh.
Milk will curdle, and that's a verb, curdle milk.
Yeah.
Well, curdle when you put some heat underneath it. So it was made of curdled milk with wine. It was often spiced. In the 16th century, and that's the 1500s, the drink evolved into a cream sugar and citrus-based confection.
Ooh.
Confection is some sort of sweet dessert, typically. Citrus-based, wow, that would mean they put something like orange juice or lemon juice in it. That sounds really awful. But it also is interesting because this drink posset is actually mentioned in some of Shakespeare's writings, like Lady Macbeth, or in Poldark, which I read all the books that have been dramatized recently and are on TV. Poldark. Ooh, yeah.
When I saw the word posset, of course, it reminded me of a scene in Hamlet, I think, where the ghost is talking to Hamlet and telling Hamlet how he was killed by his brother, Claudius, and I think he poured something into his ear that doth posset and curd.
Oh.
And that's how Hamlet, the older Hamlet, the previous king, actually was murdered.
The dad.
By his brother. But that's in Shakespeare there. But in any case, that's posset. But more specifically, we are talking about eggnog here. And as I was going to say, my goodness, that recipe for the Mexican kind there sounds really tasty, especially with that extra vanilla in there and the cinnamon. Boy, Mexican food can certainly hit the spot, especially on a winter's day. Boy, I hope there are some Mexicans out there listening because I'd really like to try this stuff. Do you guys know where I can buy some Mexican rompope around Taipei? And if not, can you tell me how to make it? Boy, it sounds tasty.
Yeah, you'd have to import your own Mexican vanilla and cinnamon. Now, it says here, if you're keen to try something, keen is a word that's very interesting to me. In America, we don't typically use this word as much as the Brits do. They love this word. I'm keen to go. I'm keen to try it. I'm keen on her. I'm keen on this, which just means they're really interested in it. Or if someone's a keen reader, it's someone who reads a lot of books. But yeah, you should know what this word means. I'm looking at the author of this particular unit, Pat Woods. He is British, so I'm not surprised he used the word keen. So keen is a fun word. I typically don't use it myself. I don't use it in my writing, but you should know what it means. So if you're keen to try some non-alcoholic eggnog, we both encourage you to give it a try. It's not that difficult. Just get online, look at different recipes, and pick the one that suits your taste buds a little better than others. Eggnog, but whatever.
I'd like to try the brandy myself, but in any case here, I'm going to whip some up tonight if I can't find some available in a supermarket. That would be easier, of course. So, yes, indeed, if you choose to have some eggnog to celebrate Christmas, hey, Merry Christmas to you. And I guess we'll see you back at work the next day. So that brings us to the end of our explanation. And there's no Chinese teacher. We're just going to say goodbye directly. So thank you for joining us. And please join us again next time. From all of us here at English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Merry Christmas!